My guest this morning is Francis Boyle. Francis is joining us from Chicago. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on the telephone.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and my best to your listening audience. But I am at the University of Illinois College of Law in Champaign, not Chicago, but that's all right.
Oh, well, thank you.
I would not want to be confused with the University of Chicago Law School, where they have, you know, torture professors and every type of terrible thing you could possibly imagine at that place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the correction. And this morning you're going to be talking to us about international law and how it relates to the hunter-killer Reaper drones. Do you want to mention to the audience what the hunter-killer Reaper drones are?
Right. Well, just let me preface this comment by saying that there is a very detailed analysis of this on the web. If you do a Google search under my name, Francis Boyle, and Sherwood Ross, who's an investigative reporter I work with, we have a pretty substantial essay on there about the illegalities behind these so-called drone strikes. And basically, you have to look at the legal regimes are somewhat different on both drone strikes, whether they're actually in a war zone or not. So let me first deal with drone strikes, for example, in Pakistan, Yemen, and elsewhere. Technically, the United States government is not at war with Pakistan or Yemen, where these drone strikes have taken place. And so the laws of war do not apply there. And, excuse me, I'm just sipping my tea here first thing in the morning.
Not a problem.
And so for that reason, these drone strikes are what Amnesty International calls extrajudicial executions. They're murder. They violate the right to life as set forth in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which the United States government is a party. And that would apply for all drone strikes in all countries. Right now, that the U.S. government is a party to, except Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, in Afghanistan, there is a war going on between the United States and Afghanistan. So there, the laws of war do apply. And in Afghanistan, it would be not unlawful for the United States government to target Taliban fighters with drones.
Mm-hmm.
The problem there is twofold. One, it appears that despite the press accounts to the contrary, drones are not terribly accurate in the sense that oftentimes the intelligence on which these strikes are based is erroneous. People will call in opponents, political, familial, whatever, and the drones will hit completely innocent human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, you know, it raises serious questions whether or not that use is lawful. Second is the element of disproportionality, that there has been a pattern of drone strikes launched on legitimate targets, military targets, but paying absolutely no attention at all to the incidental civilian casualties. Under the laws of war, even as recognized by the United States government, there has to be a calculation of the casualties here that the how many dead fighters as opposed to how many dead civilians, and that if it's disproportionate, that strike should not be launched.
Mm-hmm.
So those rules of engagement do apply in Afghanistan, where you know many of the drone strikes are taking place, but do not apply in Pakistan or Yemen, where you know these drone strikes are clearly illegal.
Mm-hmm. For
and one other point, then, mm-hmm. in Afghanistan, since it is a war zone, a violation of the laws of war is also a war crime, even as recognized by U.S. Army Field Manual 2710, the Laws of Land Warfare, that is still valid and binding, and says that all violation of the laws of war is a war crime. But if you have a look at this article I did with Sherwood Ross, you can Google it. I think I sent it to you, so
you did.
Might want to put it on your web page or something.
Yes, I'll put a link to that.
For ease of convenience,
sure.
For readers to see, you will understand this basic distinction, the two different legal regimes. And other, you know, other international experts have said the same thing I have, so there's nothing unusual about this.
Well, what's unusual to me is how does the U.S. continue to get away with violating all of these agreements that they're bound to?
Well, isn't that up to you and me? I mean, this is supposed to be a government elected of, by, and for the people, and yet for some reason the peace movement has been unwilling to call Obama on any of this.
Mm-hmm.
They were snookered by Obama and his promises of hope and change and all the rest of it. Indeed, I was on the Uniting for Peace and Justice email list, and when Obama started bombing Libya, clearly illegal and unconstitutional, and said he should be impeached, they immediately knocked me off that list.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, and with all due respect to many people involved in peace movements here in the United States, organizations, the leadership of these organizations is in the pocket of the Democratic Party. Uniting for Peace and Justice, Move On, you can go down the list. And they will steer peace activists away from really taking on Obama over what he's been doing with these drone strikes or Libya or anything else. And again, I was literally thrown off Uniting for Peace and Justice simply because I called for Obama to be impeached. And I'm not criticizing anyone involved at the grassroots level on Uniting for Peace and Justice.
Mm-hmm.
But that organization is run by operatives for the Democratic Party. And their objective is to keep the peace movement under control, quiescent, and certainly away from challenging seriously what Obama and his hench people are doing here in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, Iraq, or anywhere else. That's the problem that we are in now. From you know, in my perspective, someone involved in the peace movement since the Tonkin Gulf incident in 1964.
So, what would be the first step to prosecute the U.S. in this under international law, or for a war crime?
I tried. I filed a complaint against Bush and the rest of them,
mm-hmm.
For their extraordinary rendition with the International Criminal Court, and that is currently being under review.
Mm-hmm.
A complaint could be filed against Obama. In my complaint, I said if, you know, the policy didn't stop, I'd consider filing something against Obama, too. Obama just said recently that he was ultimately responsible for all the civilian casualties in Afghanistan. And Afghanistan is a party to the Rome Statute for the International Criminal Court. And the ICC prosecutor has said he's keeping Afghanistan under review. So, yeah, people could file a complaint with the ICC prosecutor in The Hague against Obama and Gates and the CIA head, Panetta, who's now going to become Secretary of Defense. That's the chain of command for war crimes in Afghanistan. Yeah, that can be done, sure.
And it can be done by any individual?
Anyone, sure. The ICC, if you go on the web, and or actually if you remind me, send me an email,
mm-hmm.
I'll send you the complaint I filed against Bush and the rest of them. And it'll give you an idea of the type of complaint you could file with the ICC prosecutor against Obama, and I would say Gates and Panetta. That's Gates Secretary of Defense and Panetta, head of the CIA. That's the chain of command right there. Sure.
Yeah.
And Obama just said it was on the net yesterday, I believe, on Rick Rossoff's Stop NATO list,
mm-hmm.
where Obama said he was ultimately responsible for all civilian casualties in Afghanistan. And Rossoff said, well, you know, basically he's incriminated himself. I agree, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, people could file complaints with the ICC prosecutor against Obama. But again, Obama and the Democratic Party have the whole peace movement snowballed here for the last 2 years now. I gave Obama the benefit of the doubt for 6 months at least to see how he would get up and get organized and who he would put in there. And it was clear to me after 6 months there was going to be no change from any of the Bush policies, and there hasn't,
mm-hmm.
As far as I could tell. I mean, obviously, your people are out there listening and watching, and they can draw their own conclusions. But even many of the Bush people are praising Obama for continuing all the Bush policies. So,
now,
I think all the rest is just smoke and mirrors by the Democratic Party and most of the news media that's pretty pro-Obama, too.
In the International Criminal Court, has the U.S. Been found guilty of any of these types of crimes in the past?
No, because, you see, the U.S. is not a party to the Rome Statute for the International Criminal Court. So the grounds for it to exercise jurisdiction against the U.S. is quite limited.
Mm.
In the case of the Extraordinary Rendition Policy, they committed... Bush and the rest of them committed ICC crimes in ICC member states. That's the case here. Afghanistan is an ICC member state. So technically, Obama is guilty of committing ICC crimes in an ICC member state, Afghanistan, for sure. As for Pakistan, if he's launching drone strikes from Afghanistan into Pakistan, that would qualify as well. I don't believe Pakistan is a party to the Rome Statute. So the CIA strikes in Pakistan would fit within their jurisdiction. But any drone strikes from Afghanistan to Pakistan or in Pakistan would qualify, yeah.
Were there any types of war crimes that the U.S. has been found guilty of in the past?
Well, I've been here as a professor for 33 years, and I've tried to hold the U.S. government accountable all up and down in international courts and U.S. courts. It's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. And do you think...
If you are interested, I've just written a book called Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law, Rauman and Littlefield. It's paperback, so anyone can afford it. Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law. That sums up my experience in these types of cases since, 1982.
Mm-hmm.
That's been almost 30 years now.
Mm-hmm. If you could have a wish to see things changed in any way that you would like, what do you think it would take for things to be effective where the U.S. would ultimately be prosecuted for these types of crimes? What type of change do you think would need to occur?
What we need is a peace movement like what happened during the Vietnam War, where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people go out in the street and protest, peaceful, nonviolent, but exercise our First Amendment right, our right of civil resistance, to stop these government crimes. That's what we need. A court, you know, is not going to stop crimes by the United States government. They didn't in Vietnam, and they're not going to do it now. We can't rely on a court to do our job as citizens for us. It's up to us to rein in this completely lawless government. Obama went out there and literally out of nowhere just began to bomb Libya. Mm-hmm. And according to the Libyan government now, he's killed probably 800 civilians and wounded 4,500. It's simply an attempt to go over there and steal their oil and gas. And he's getting away with it. And when I pointed this out on Uniting for Peace and Justice and said he should be impeached, they immediately knocked me off their list. They didn't want some law professor detailing the constitutional and international law violations being committed by the Obama administration, because as of today, effectively, the peace movement is under the de facto control of the Democratic Party. We have to understand that before we're going to make any progress at all.
In your article, you talked about Obama's connection to the CIA. Would you like to speak about that a little?
Well, sure. It's been documented by John Pilcher, the Australian investigative reporter, award-winning investigative reporter, that... while he was at Columbia, and his mentor there was Zbigniew Brzezinski, he graduated from Columbia and went to work for a CIA front organization for a few years, and they paid off all of his college loans, which, of course, at Columbia is pretty substantial. Well, there's the old saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So I guess I asked the question, who's been calling Obama's tune since he left Columbia as an undergraduate? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is pretty clear. And that might explain why Obama has ruled out any prosecution of anyone in the Bush administration for their torture policies, extraordinary rendition, or the other crimes they committed.
You said that the Pentagon jailers accused of torturing did get prosecuted and convicted.
Hardly anyone. Only the people at the very bottom of the food chain. They were thrown to the wolves. And even there, I helped defend Staff Sergeant Camilo Mejia, who was the first resistor to Bush Jr.'s war against Iraq. And Sergeant Mejia was over there in Iraq, in combat, saw the torture going on, and concluded he could no longer be part of this. I helped defend him, and it was a total kangaroo court proceeding that I describe in my book down at Fort Stewart, Georgia. He got 8 months in incarceration, whereas some of the torturers at Abu Ghraib got less than 8 months for the torture. Mm. So notice he got 8 months for resisting torture, more time than some of the torturers did.
Mm-hmm.
And we, to his credit, got Sergeant Mejia adopted a prisoner of conscience by Amnesty International, which he was. That's what's really going on here. As I argued in the Mejia court-martial, the responsibility for torture went right to the top of the chain of command, which was President Bush, Rumsfeld, and then right down the Boykin, the generals Sanchez and Miller, and et cetera. And if you send me an email, I'll send you. My discussion of this is in my book, Protesting Power. So the, you know, just some very low-level GIs, and not to excuse them at all,
mm-hmm.
Were prosecuted. But the up the chain of command, no, they all got off. Now, I do believe that my testimony pointing this out had a role to play in the fact that Staff Sergeant Mejia only got 8 months as opposed to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he shouldn't have gotten any time at all.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been given a medal, like the Army gave a medal to Hugh Tompkins for trying to stop the My Lai massacre. But that's not the way it worked.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of people going into court to defend themselves when they're protesting nuclear weapons or something like that, and the court telling them that they can't bring up international law in the courtroom.
It depends on the court and the judge and the circumstances. It's very difficult to do in federal court, but not in so much in state and local courts. You'll get a fairer shot in state and local courts because typically those judges are elected by the people and feel more accountable to the people of the community. But again, I discuss this in my book, Protesting Power, which, again, you can just get at Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it has directions in there for how people can defend themselves in court using international law. Right. It's all set up that way. It can be used either by lawyers
mm-hmm.
Or by ordinary people. Basically, you know, if you have a high school education, you can read the book and understand it and use it to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it is correct to say that you'll get a fair shot trial at a state and local basis, which is why then many protesters have designed their protests in a way that they will not get prosecuted by the federal government.
I see. Some people who know about my program heard you'd be on and wanted me to ask you about Julian Assange, since you do international law, if you would speak to that briefly. WikiLeaks.
Well, let me say, I don't mean any disrespect to Mr. Assange one way or the other, or Bradley Manning, and I've offered to help out on Manning's court-martial. But, you know, in my opinion, I think we have to be very careful relying on the WikiLeaks. My assessment of the situation is that they very well could have been manufactured by Army intelligence as a PSYOP,
mm-hmm.
and then Manning and Assange could have been, I don't doubt their good faith, Manning and Assange,
mm-hmm.
but could have been used by Army intelligence as a PSYOP. As I see it, and as others have seen the WikiLeaks, it's sort of a limited hangout, what the Nixon administration called a limited hangout. There is some information in there that might create minimal problems for the United States. But on the other hand, I think a lot of that information is disinformation. But again, I do not at all call into question the good faith of Assange or Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to be very careful in the peace movement on relying on WikiLeaks, the information there. We have to be very careful in evaluating that information. But again, please understand,
sure.
I'm not calling into question the integrity of Assange or Manning, and I, you know, I have offered to help out on Manning's court-martial if, you know, his lawyers want me to help out.
Another name I was asked to ask you about is Dominique Strauss.
Right. Well, Mr. Strauss-Kahn is, according to U.S. constitutional law, innocent, presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by 12 men and women sitting on a jury. I do criminal defense work, and you know that's the only answer I can give you. And I guess we'll just have to see what, you know, what his defense is and what the evidence is. I really can't, you know, express much an opinion beyond that. But mm-hmm. you know, we do have to, you know, he's entitled to the same constitutional protections as anyone else has in this country. These are serious charges, and I guess we'll just have to see what happens with that.
And going back to the drones, were you familiar with the Creech 14? That
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so with their case, I heard that they were not allowed to use the word drone in the courtroom.
I know. There are oftentimes, I can't recall if that was a federal or a state court,
mm-hmm.
But typically that is correct. These judges are a law unto themselves. They do everything humanly possible to gag defendants, to prevent these types of international arguments from getting to a jury, because the juries, once they hear the evidence, will acquit them. And so it's really up to the individuals involved to come up with strategies as to how to get this evidence considered by juries.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. And, you know, my advice is that you're going to need to work with a lawyer to figure out a strategy how to do that. Now, some judges don't do that and let you put on your evidence,
mm-hmm.
Which is your constitutional right. Other judges couldn't care less, and especially federal judges, you know, they think they're accountable to no one but God himself or herself, mm-hmm. between you and me. And, you know, how are you going to get a fair trial in a federal court when the federal judges are put in power by the federal government and get paid by the federal government? It's extremely difficult to get a fair trial in a federal court opposing criminal practices and policies by the United States government. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've also done court martials too. You know, it's like hand-to-hand combat in there, trying to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you've got to try, but, you know, my advice would be to encourage people to consult a lawyer, read my book, and come up with a strategy as to try to get these types of arguments to the juries. Because when the juries hear the evidence and the arguments, they're going to acquit.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Because, you know, most people sitting on juries are common, ordinary, everyday Americans. They're not aware that the government is out there committing war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And once they are informed, yeah, they're appalled. But the judges know that, and so they do everything humanly possible to shut down defenses. If state and local judges do this, then you have to launch state and local campaigns to remove them from office, defeat them at elections, or you know, retentions, have them defeated, and put on some decent judges there who will give the people of your community a fair trial. Federal judges, you know, there's not much you can do with these people, which has led many protesters to design their protest in a way that they would avoid federal court and end up in state and local court. But that, you know, that's up for them to decide. In some cases, it's not possible to do that, or the protesters will be in a state and local court, maybe getting a fair trial, and then the feds step in and take the case over. So it's a real battle. What can I say?
And what is the legality of that? How are they allowed to step into a state court? I mean, how can the federal judges come into a local court and take over the case?
For example, if it's against nuclear weapons, then that's federal right there. But a handful of cases where nuclear protesters started out in state court and had a pretty good shot at a fair trial, which the feds did not want to see, and then they step in and sort of oust the state authorities and take over the prosecution and then give them a kangaroo court in federal court.
So. Have you heard of the Hancock 37?
I'm sorry, I haven't, no.
Oh, okay, so this was in April. 37 people were arrested at the Hancock Air Force Base, where they have Reaper drones.
Where's Hancock Air Force Base?
Syracuse, New York.
Up near Syracuse, New York, okay.
So I'm one of the 37.
I see.
And we will be going to court. We're not sure what our trial date will be yet.
All right. Well, my advice to you is, if you want to defend yourself, fine. But you should consult a lawyer in New York. Are you in federal or state court?
This would be town court of DeWitt.
Oh, all right. So, fine. So talk to a local attorney there.
Mm-hmm.
Review the charges. Have a look at my book. And my article there with Sherwood Ross should give you an idea of what the war crimes are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your basic defense. But again, I would strongly encourage you to consult a lawyer and to figure out a strategy as to how to put your defense on there in the court.
Okay.
It's not going to be easy to do. I know many people with great courage and everything, but it's just very difficult all by yourself to go in there and figure out how to overcome these judges who want to rob you of your constitutional right to a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise you to, find local counsel there in New York. I can't say I know any personally up there in Syracuse, but there, if you contact the National Lawyers Guild in New York City, their headquarters, they could probably refer you to local counsel there in Syracuse, who could give you some pretty good advice about how to do this under New York law. And then my book is set up that, you can read. And then as for the substantive violations, you've got them all there in that article I sent you by Sherwood Ross quoting me. So that'd be your basic defense.
Great. And is there any other books or information that you would like to make people aware of, since you have their ear for the moment?
I think that, really has, most of what you need. I did write a recent book called Tackling America's Toughest Questions that sort of supplements some of the arguments in Protesting Power and brings them up through Obama coming to power, that book. So if you want, and unfortunately, I hate to say it, I anticipated that the incoming Obama people were going to use humanitarian intervention as a justification for war. So I put a whole chapter in there on that. And sure enough, I hate to say it, I was right. Obama has used the argument of humanitarian intervention to justify his war against Libya. So all the arguments against that you can find in Tackling America's Toughest Questions. It was sort of an anticipatory defense, as I saw it, figuring Obama was going to do that, given the cast of characters he had around him. So you could have a look at those two books by me, and that would pretty much bring everything up to date.
Great. And is there any place you recommend for people to find out real news on what's happening in the world? Keep up to date.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that's hard to do. I start my day every day. I usually get into my office at 8, and I just read through 3 hours every day just trying to sort out what's going on. You know, the alternative news media, you know, is critical. I think Counterpunch is a pretty good start.
Okay.
To have a look at their sources for some hard-hitting commentary.
Mm-hmm.
World Socialist Webpage has some hard-hitting commentary that, you know, whether you're a socialist or not, they still have people on the scene with some very hard-hitting questions and commentaries there. Those are two pretty good sources to, you know, start your day out with. And then, you know, it's not per se news. It's more commentary. And then that can orient you for the rest of the day to figure out, well, okay, what, you know, what's really going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mainstream news media is nothing more than propaganda, as Chomsky and Herman established in their classic work, Manufacturing Consent.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has changed since the Vietnam War. So you're wasting your time with any of the mainstream news media, including NPR, which is National Propaganda Radio. I mean, they're a waste of time, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Free Speech Radio News is good. Pacifica is good. So, you know, good luck. It's, you know, this is my job. I've been doing this for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I know people out there have other full-time jobs they have to work on. So you're going to have to be selective and focused and narrow in, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Wish I could do a better job on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, you know, you can read anything by Chomsky and Ed Herman on the net, you know, that they put out. Those are certainly worth reading.
I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us this morning.
All right, well, hey, you know, good luck to you and all your comrades there going into court. And, you know, this is what is all about in stopping the government. It's not going to be, you know, it's citizen protest and resistance. That's what's going to stop these crimes and not some court between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in Vietnam. That's the only way we stopped that war. And that's the only way we're going to stop the wars going on now today.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be done in court. But good luck to you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, and happy to give you this interview.